Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 15, 2021. Preparation for spiritual ascent. Question: what did you mean when you spoke about a purely psychological barrier when one is exiting the bounds of one's own eye? Answer: previously, in order to prepare a person for a spiritual ascent, it was necessary to do it through a psychological ascent. That is why I was saying this. Today, however, it is much easier to do it in a correctly arranged group. If a person is in such a society, then it gradually forms him, places him inside itself, and begins to work on him within itself. Therefore, today it is not necessary to pay so much attention to psychology. It is enough to place a person in a group, and if he is engaged in it correctly, then the group will do everything itself. Gradually, it will mature, and, as between millstones, will produce for you a more or less a spiritual being. If there is no group, then nothing will work. There will be no spiritual growth. A person will turn out to be some kind of psychologist. From CAB TV's Integral Course, March 19, 2021. A microscope for revealing the Creator. It is written, "There is none else besides Him," and with respect to the ten, this means that the entire ten connects with the single upper force that it must reveal. We establish a relationship between us, so that this single upper force can be revealed within us. The entire ten helps each other in this, each one supports the others and exists only in order to advance the ten. After all, my entire spiritual life is only in the ten, and my duty is to connect all of them together to such an extent that according to this connection the Creator will be revealed within us. It is as if we have a microscope or a camera that needs to be focused by turning knob to adjust the objective lens. If we set it up correctly, then all our focuses are connected and we can see a clear, sharp picture. This is what we need to do in the ten, to turn each one, each lens that is in the group so that we can see the Creator who is within us. Of course, as soon as we manage to catch him in our focus, he immediately disappears, and we have to look for him again and adjust the focus. And so over and over again, but each time we move forward by increasing the resolution and rising to a higher level of examination and implementation. This is the work we must do every day and even every moment. The entire work is to bring the ten to a state where I see not ten people but ten qualities, and by connecting them more and more precisely, I feel the Creator on the higher and higher degree of the Nar on high. Then we will begin to perceive the study of the ten Sephirot in our senses, as something happening in a person's heart and the mind. We will understand what the screen and the Kli are in our feelings. We will begin to live in the spiritual world even if for the time being like infants who do not quite understand but already perceive and feel changes taking place in it. This will be a real study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. We will begin to understand its language of branches, the language in which Kabbalists wrote in order to pass spiritual information from generation to generation using the words of this world. The most important thing is to maintain the correct attitude toward spirituality, our connection within which the Creator is revealed as if through a properly focused lens. We adjust it by focusing our friends more and more accurately on one common point, all our intentions, feelings, and thoughts to be in order to become as one man with one heart. This means that we have found one common focus in which we reveal the Creator. It is clear that each time our lens gets out of focus and we find ourselves further away from spirituality. But all this is in order for us to focus more on the ten despite all the disturbances and to attain the correct picture. The greater the difference between the descent, when we see nothing but this world, and the ascent, when we see ourselves as one and the Creator between us, the higher our spiritual degree is. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson April 10, 2021, reinforcing ourselves with "There is none else besides Him." My new article on LinkedIn: how many forces are in nature? The scientific community has been abuzz lately over a possible discovery of new particles, or even a new force in nature. Scientists working at Fermilab, a Department of Energy National Laboratory specializing in high-energy particle physics near Chicago, say they've seen strong evidence of an unknown force working at the subatomic level, which caused a particle called muon to wobble in a way they did not expect based on the current understanding of physics. Chris Polley, one of the lead scientists on the experiment, described this as our Mars rover landing moment. Marcella Carina, head of theoretical physics at Fermilab, added excitedly, "I feel like this tiny wobble may shake the foundations of what we thought we knew. We must start being more considerate of others' needs, and not only of our own. Moreover, we must do this as a society, and not individually, since individually, it will not work in a self-centered society. Fermilab is not alone." Last month, researchers at the Large Hadron Collider, LHC, in Europe also found hints of an unknown force at work. They smashed together particles called beauty quarks, expected the collisions to produce equal amounts of electrons and muons, but ended up producing 15% more electrons than muons. "Something funny going on," observed David Kaplan, a Johns Hopkins University theoretical physicist, in an interview on Global News. According to Kaplan, the results of the experiments point to something that could be explained by a new particle or force that isn't in the standard model. "This is not a fudge factor," he said. "This is something wrong. The current understanding of subatomic physics, working under what is called the standard model, maintains that there are four forces in nature: gravity, electromagnetism, the strong force, and the weak force. So far, the four forces have managed to explain pretty much everything. Now, apparently, the standard model cannot explain the new phenomena, and scientists are questioning their understanding of the world. If there are five forces, then they don't understand how things work. Worse yet, they don't know the nature of this force, if there are other forces that they still don't know about, or if there is even a new force or a new particle to discover. This can get quite confusing, if you're a physicist, but in fact, there is an easy way to put order into this conundrum. I wrote about it extensively in my book Self-Interest versus Altruism in the Global Era, but I'll try to share the gist of the explanation in this little snippet. At the most basic level of reality are two forces. They have no scientific names, but they are opposite, and their interactions create and maintain every iota of reality. When they are balanced, matters thrive; when there is imbalance between them, matters decay and deteriorate. These forces, which we can refer to as positive and negative, create the opposite charges between protons and electrons, the opposite seasons of the year, the oppositeness between day and night, birth and death, growth and decay, male and female, and love and hate. Specifically in humans, these forces manifest as desires, a desire to receive and a desire to give. When there is exploitation, it is clearly an exaggeration of the desire to receive. Motherhood, on the other hand, is the best example of the desire to give, even if the mother receives pleasure while giving. These desires are not static. Their development creates what we know as evolution, but they maintain their balance, or as biologists refer to it, homeostasis, namely a dynamic balance where the forces alternate in dominance. Currently, the apex of evolution is humankind. However, in humans, there is a flaw: the desire to receive is overbearing in us, and the desire to give is, well, meek. As a result, the revelations we make are all used by the desire to receive. This is why every scientific discovery is immediately used for selfish purposes, from seeking fame through gaining wealth to developing military weapons and technologies. Because our desires keep developing, we will continue to discover new particles, new forces, and new laws in nature. The only limit to our discoveries is the intensity of our desires. The more they grow, the more we will discover. However, You can be sure that we will misuse whatever we discover, just as we have misused everything that we have learned about nature to this day. The only possible result of discovering more forces is that they will be used to inflict more harm and pain on humanity and on our planet. The real discovery we need to make is how to balance our unhinged desire to receive with our feckless desire to give. We must remember that any structure in nature where the two forces are off balance is short-lived. If we want to be more than a flicker in the history of our planet, we must learn to balance receiving with giving. In simpler words, we must start being more considerate of others' needs, and not only of our own. Moreover, we must do this as a society, and not individually, since individually, it will not work in a self-centered society. Where they already discovered what nuclear weapons can do? Now, once more, we are growing obtuse enough to use them, for all their consequences. Therefore, while there are countless forces in nature, there is only one that we really need to discover, the force of giving, the desire to give. This will reveal to us the physics of happiness. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what is the counting of the Omer? An Omer is a sheaf gathered from produce that is harvested and tied together. The spiritual meaning of Omer is a share, count, numbering, of levels that we attain, which are 7 levels of successive connection. The connection becomes stronger and tighter on each level, and we constantly count our 7 sefirot in such a process, namely the sefirot of Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod and Malkhut. Each of these sefirot is made of another 7 sefirot, for instance, Hesed of Hesed, Gvura of Hesed, Tiferet of Hesed, Netzach of Hesed and so on. 7 × 7 = 49, which is where the 49 days discussed in the Torah about the Omer count come from. During the Omer count, we undergo introspection and scrutiny of our inner qualities in how they connect to one Omer with all the rest. Such connection is different to that which helped the people of Israel escape from Egypt. The Omer count starts on the 2nd day of Passover. It is a time when we each scrutinize in what sefiran states we perform corrections on our desire to receive. We connect more and more among each other, that is, adding to our bundle of sheaves, until we eventually discover ourselves standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. The spiritual meaning of Mount Sinai is a mountain of hatred, Sinai from the word, sinner, hatred. It is when we discover the tremendous size of the ego that separates us from connecting to each other and with the Creator. We arrive at this state on the day 50 of the Omer count, that is, during the process of correcting ourselves in order to become increasingly connected. In other words, the more we connect, the more we discover our inborn ego blocking us from genuinely connecting. However, together with the discovery of our immensely divisive egoistic nature, we also develop a great desire to connect, which becomes expressed as the condition of our vuut, mutual guarantee. That is, we want to be connected to each other in one Omer, but we lack the strength to annul our egos. We thus agree to the Torah's conditions and method to increasingly connect and thus gradually correct the ego, and we also do not outright eliminate the ego. The Omer count thus represents the start of our progress toward a deep spiritual connection among each other and with the Creator, the force of love and bestowal that connects us. It describes a process that we undergo toward a more corrected future state of positive connection among each other, where on the way to such a state, we discover the vastness of our ego standing in the way of our connection. We experience several inner contradictions and paradoxes on this path, and ultimately a tiny point within us, our spiritual desire, called a point in the heart, lets us scale Mount Sinai, where our egoistic selves are unable to. The idea of a major obstacle in the form of the ego that stands in our way to positively connect was also expressed in the story about the Tower of Babel. However, with Mount Sinai, it assumes a completely different form, and exists on a whole new level. Specifically, It is in that we have passed through the states of Babylon and the Exodus from Egypt, and we start understanding that if we rise above the ego, then at its peak, we will discover the Creator in our connection. Spirituality is attained through opposite states residing in the same place. We aim at increasing our positive connection to each other, and discover a massive ego in the process, that is, pride, arrogance, and our failure to control such states, and we also agree to lower our heads and accept the need to correct our ego in order to genuinely connect and discover the Creator, the force of love and bestowal dwelling in our connection. Based on Secrets of the Eternal Book on May 28, 2014. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Within the framework of spiritual action. Comment, about 3,500 years ago, according to the Torah, Exodus chapter 5, Moses demanded from the Pharaoh of Egypt to release the Israeli people from slavery in the name of God. But Pharaoh did not listen to him and 10 plagues fell on Egypt. From an academic point of view, it is believed that there was no such event, and even if there were, it was not on the scale described in the Torah. In religion, of course, nothing is tested, they just believe that it happened. Kabbalah does not consider these events as historical events at all but asserts that they are about spiritual processes that the people and Moses himself went through. My response, first, the Torah does not speak about individual people, but about the solely internal issues of all mankind. Secondly, we are not talking about physical problems, although they may have been manifested in material life in some way. But that is not the point at all. Originally, all of humanity was created from an egoistic desire to enjoy. This desire goes through certain stages of its birth and development to the point where people begin to understand that they can no longer remain in egoism and must somehow get out of it. The group that Abraham led from ancient Babylon to the land of Canaan, or rather his descendants, the sons of his grandson Jacob, came to Egypt. As described in the Torah, they lived there for a long time and went through different stages, good and bad. But, in principle, the Torah speaks about the internal states of these people. Moreover, when we talk about the people as a large number, we do not mean their number, but their spiritual power. That is, all this must be perceived and weighed within the framework of spiritual actions. The same goes for the Egyptian executions. Executions are actions where a person or an entire group comes together under the blows of their egoism. First, egoism must put pressure on them. Therefore, when the Pharaoh, symbolizing the ego, enslaves them, and when they feel they are servile, they are obliged to somehow connect between themselves to help one another. After all, if a person is beaten, he begins to shrink internally. This brings him to a completely different state where he tries to free himself from the ego. This attempt at liberation from egoism is the way out of Egypt. But to get out of Egypt, this group must agree to be willing to rise above the ego. As a single spiritual union, called Part-Suf system, they must undergo a special purification from egoism. Since this spiritual structure consists of 10 parts, 10 sephirot, their purification consists of 10 releases from the ego, which are called the 10 blows or Egyptian plagues. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, January 30, 2020. A generator or a receiver of thoughts? Question, am I a generator or a receiver of thoughts? What is my freedom in terms of thoughts? Answer, no one is a generator of thoughts. Good and evil thoughts come only from above. We are merely small consumers at the end of the chain, but our reaction to them depends on how we reflect the evil or the good signals that we receive. This is our mission. Question, can thoughts intersect, reinforce, or interrupt each other? Answer, yes, if they are not for the sake of unity. But if they are thoughts for unity, They are swallowed in the center of the group and the group growls. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 3, 2019. Why does the Creator have many names? Question: if the Creator is one, unique, and distinctive, then why does he have so many names? Answer: according to the way in which a person perceives the Creator, he gives him names. And when he attains him in his true form, then the name disappears completely and only a four-letter symbol remains, which speaks about the way in which we perceive him in our feelings. In other words, there is a root, or zero, discernment along with discernments 1, 2, 3, or 4. Other than the root, each of them is one name of the Creator, meaning the revelation of the Creator within us. The root is the attribute of bestowal, which comes from the Creator, and then this enters our desire. Question: even when I feel that the Creator is cruel and I say that about him, is this also a name for the Creator? Answer: yes, everything that you feel is a name of the Creator. Moreover, even what you are feeling now in your everyday life is the Creator and his revelation within your desires. Which is to say, even now there is none else besides him, Deuteronomy 4:35. A question arises: how is it possible to imagine the Creator apart from what is happening around us, on the level of the still, vegetative, and animate of the world? It is a revelation of his attributes in relation to us. If we absorb all of this within ourselves correctly, then we will attain only a single root of bestowal. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 27, 2019. Plunge into spiritual egoism. Comment: in the Torah, first there are acts of creation, and then, after 2,500 years, the Ten Commandments were derived for the people. My response: the commandments arise only in a person after his long development. It is very difficult to understand where they are coming from. A person must plunge into an unearthly, spiritual egoism, which is called Egypt. This is what happened to the Jewish people according to the historical epic when they passed through Egypt, plunged into all the egoistic properties, saw them, and realized that they were the opposite of the Creator. On the other hand, he realized that he was not able to get out of them himself, and all his properties stand before him like Mount Sinai, a mountain of hatred, the opposite of the Creator. And all this is due to the fact that among these properties there is a point of Moshe, Moses, called contact with the Creator. By pulling, like on a small thread, a person can pull himself out of this opposition into the likeness of the Creator. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 10.